Good to see each one of you here tonight. Glad you're back for our last night of revival. Let's stand together, please. Turn to page number 290. Page number 290. A new name written down in glory. We'll sing all three verses to begin our service together tonight. I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story.
Think of the Gamble family there at Berean Baptist Church when we were there and on staff, and Miss Stephanie Gamble, faithful people working with the college and career class, and I think it was during a revival meeting, and Miss Stephanie Gamble called on the Lord and got saved, and she had been, you know, church members can get saved too, amen. Was pretending, and it wasn't real, and boy, I'm telling you, she got saved. And she was actually on the docket to sing a special that night, and she sang, "There's a New Name Written Down in Heaven." And what a blessing. And we just all sat there and cried and rejoiced with her. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. Now, I'm just telling you, last night there was some spiritual warfare going on. And so we've been doing some praying, and we went by Andy's Frozen Custard today. And so things have been cleansed out now, and we're ready to go. Amen. Amen. Some of you need to learn to laugh. It's all right. Amen. We've had a good day, and I got to go to the World War I Liberty Memorial there, and just a real blessing. Sure thankful for our country, and just a real blessing. But let's pray tonight. It's our last night of revival. Been a good week. Let's finish strong. Amen. And let's let God meet with us tonight and move in us and work in us. We sure need Him, don't we? Brother Rich Raymer, would you pray for us, brother? Amen. You may be seated tonight. We're going to have a special at this time from the Wisdom family.
That'll make that commitment. Amen. Amen. Page number 19. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. To God be the glory for all that He's done. We'll sing page number 19. We're going to go right into page number 20 after that last verse there. Sing out with me on the first verse.
To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So
rejoicing.
going to take up an offering tonight. And if you'd like to be a blessing, help meet the needs of the meeting this week. It's been a good week. Amen. And sure want to be a blessing to the man of God and his family. Do be much in prayer for them. They'll be flying out in the morning and heading back to the Holy Land, Florida. Amen. Amen. Listen, this is why it's been such a good week, because you got Gator fans. Amen. Oh, come on. So, listen, some of you will work on it a little bit. Amen. It's been a good week. Amen. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Ask the Lord's blessing on the offering. What a blessing to get to ask my son tonight to pray for the offering. So, Luke Stewart, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. You may be seated tonight.
That song, "I'm So Glad That Jesus Loves Me." Aren't you thankful he loves you tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's stand one last time. Turn to page 286. 286, there is no other way to be saved but through the blood of Jesus Christ. Saved by the blood. We'll sing all four verses together this evening. Page 286.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Singing tonight.
There burns a fire with sacred heat, white hot with holy flame. And all who dare pass through its blaze will not emerge the same. Some as bronze and some as silver, some as gold, then with great skill all are hammered by their sufferings on the anvil of his will. The refiner's fire has now become my soul's desire. Purged and cleansed and purified, that the Lord be glorified. He is consuming my soul, refining me, making me whole. No matter what I may lose, I choose the refiner's fire. I'm learning now to trust his touch, to crave the fire's embrace. For though my past with sin was etched, his mercies did erase. Each time his purging cleanses deeper, I'm not sure that I'll survive. Yet the strength in growing weaker keeps my hungry soul alive. The refiner's fire has now become my soul's desire. Purged and cleansed and purified, that the Lord be glorified. He is consuming my soul, refining me, making me whole. No matter what I may lose, I choose the refiner's fire. He is consuming my soul, refining me, making me whole. No matter what I may lose, I choose the refiner's fire.
some God's people that would have that kind of heart. Amen. Well, it's been a good week with Pastor Nance and his family with us. I know this, that over the years I've heard Brother Nance preach. I didn't know him and his family very well. I just knew this, that every time I heard him preach, whether it was at a meeting and hearing him in person, I can remember having CDs and listening to Brother Nance back in my Cassville days, and every time I heard him preach, God's hand was on him. And I think we could all say amen, because it's been that way this week. But really, I just knew this is what the Lord wanted, and for him to be able to be here with us this week. But I really appreciate him letting the Lord use him. And you always get to the end of these things and you think, man, you feel like you got a new friend in the ministry. And so it's just been a real blessing. It really has. And so, Brother Nance, we've enjoyed you being here with us. Thank you for coming, and preach the word again. So, all
right. And I want to just say on behalf of my family, it has been a delight to be here this week and to just see how the Lord is working here at Faith Baptist. And we've enjoyed, as I said last night, getting to know the pastor and the pastor's wife and the family. And you have a great pastor and pastor's wife here. And but I'm thankful for the church that's here, the legacy that's here, the light that has been shining in this part of Kansas for many years. And just appreciate that. And I just want to say thank you for the housing, and pastor's given up his car for us to have a little bit of transportation, and then just the treatment. Man, this week we have been spoiled and fed and had fun and laughed, so it's been a blessing, and y'all have just treated us so graciously and so well, and so thank you so much for that, because I understand that, you know, meetings like this take funds and finances, but y'all have just been loving, and I appreciate that. And I've gotten to know, you know, sometimes you go to a church and you get to know the pastor and you don't really get to meet the church family, and I've just enjoyed the fellowship with everybody here. It's just been a blessing to just to make some new friends in Kansas City. And if we're passing by, I know where to stop, all right? So, and it's true that you do have good barbecue. It's more than just a rumor. So, but anyway, if you've got your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Genesis. Be a good place to go. What do you think? Started there, might as well finish there. Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. And you know, sometimes I'll tell you, you know, I'll just be real transparent. You know, preaching a meeting, you just don't know where you're going to go on messages. And I've preached Joseph in our church. I've never preached Joseph outside of our church. So I don't want you to think that, you know, it's kind of like, all right, here's a set of messages, and we just kind of hit play and rewind and play. And so honestly, this week, it's been a help to me. You know, it really has. I mean, I've come here this week, and I've been, you know, I know I'm the preacher, but God's been kicking me in the shins and stepping on my toes. And, you know, I've been like a whoop puppy, and I've had to, you know, just say amen and oh me. And it's been good. And that's how preaching works. Amen. Don't ever think that your pastor gets up and when he just preaches, and I don't want to speak for your pastor, but don't ever think that he gets up here and there's just like this immune bubble, and when he preaches, the word of God doesn't impact him. It does. I would say this, it probably impacts him first, and then it impacts you. So anyway, Genesis chapter 41, and stand with me, if you would, in verse 25. So we're going to read some verses tonight, and we'll begin in verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine, and the word kine there would be a word for cattle or for the cows or the bulls there. The seven good kine or seven are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store in the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Our Father, tonight as we come to you, Lord, you've been so kind to us. You've met with us in services this week, and we've walked out of here and we have said that we have been with the Lord. Tonight, dear God, we pray that we would not be distracted from your intent and purpose. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be gracious and that tonight you would meet with us again. I pray that you would put away the distractions from our heart and mind, that you would cause our attention to be upon you. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts tonight. Father, may we hear from the Lord. And I pray for your help. And I will give you glory for what is accomplished. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we come to this chapter, we're reminded in verses 2 that Pharaoh has a dream. It's a dream that is pretty interesting. It's a dream that has the kine, I'll use that word, seven fat kine that will come up, and then there will be seven lean kine that will follow. And then he has a second dream, and the second dream is that of corn. You'll have a stalk of corn, and on that you'll have seven ears of corn that are rank and good, as the terms the Bible will use. And then there'll be seven ears that will come up that will take over. And he is troubled by the dream. It is a revelation of what God is planning to do. I could almost say it this way. As we've looked at dreams in the life of Joseph and looked at dreams in the life of the butler and baker, we now find this dream here with Pharaoh, and we understand that this is not Pharaoh's dream as much as it is God's dream, or God's word and will being revealed to Pharaoh. And let's understand who Pharaoh is. Pharaoh is the dominant king. The word Pharaoh would literally be how we would refer to a king. But Pharaoh is the one who rules over Egypt, and Egypt is the leading world power. We will find in this passage that Egypt will be the one that will feed the world, literally, through this famine. They will be the one that everyone will travel to, including the Hebrews, to find food and survive through the famine. But we understand this, that as Pharaoh has this dream from God, I want to emphasize that, and God is revealing what he is about to do, we find that Pharaoh is unable to interpret or to understand God's word and God's will, nor does he know God's way. Because he does not know God's word and God's will, this becomes trouble to his soul. Have you ever noticed somebody who heard the word of God or the preaching of God's word, and instead of it bringing peace to their soul, it only brought trouble to their soul? They heard it, but they couldn't quite put it together. And we find here that these men are sitting in darkness. This council that is supposed to be the council that guides the affairs of the world literally is sitting in darkness without the counsel of God in their life. So we find here that there is a crisis that has come upon them, and Pharaoh is troubled. I literally, notice with me in verse 8, we didn't read this verse, but notice what it says. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And so notice what he does. He refers to all that he knows. He calls all the magicians of Egypt, all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none, and I want to emphasize that word, there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. There's not a single one that could explain to him the ways of God or the word of God, because the men of this earth cannot understand divine things. I don't expect the government to get the Bible. I don't expect the public school to teach the word of God and to understand its values or its principles. I don't expect that. And by the way, we need to be careful that when we want to understand the Bible, that we don't go to the magicians and the scholars of this earth. And you say, well, they've got a PhD. Listen, friend, I'm just going to tell you something. A carnal mind cannot understand a spiritual book. And it's important for us to understand that. These men, no matter what their background was or experience was, could not aid Pharaoh in discerning the holy, righteous mind of the God of heaven. Especially when they're pointing Pharaoh to worship the cow. Come on, just think about that. How can the same guy that says, oh, you ought to give sacrifices to the cow, or you ought to give sacrifices to that frog, or we ought to throw some babies out for the moon god out there, how can that same one have any insight in how to reveal the ways of a holy, righteous God? Can I just give a scripture and notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so we find here that Pharaoh is determined to find this dream and what it means, and through all of his worldly resources, he becomes bankrupt, and he's in a dilemma. There is no way that he on his own means and on his own ability can comprehend the divine. So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about a dream that reveals who God is and reveals what God is about to do. I love the phrase found in verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is?" What a great question. And the truth is, the world cannot produce a man. But God can. God can. What are we talking about in this passage? Well, let's understand what this revelation was all about. Let's understand what Joseph was about to reveal to them. He was about to reveal to them the Word of God. He would tell them that God is showing them this thing. And not only is God showing them this thing, but he reveals what God is intending to do. The thing is that the seven fat kine that came out were representing 7 years. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of good. And then following that, what was 7 years, the seven ill-favored kine would come up and devour that, and literally all would be lost. Now, wait. We're not just talking about a famine. We're talking about destruction. We're talking about death. We're talking about starvation. We're talking about that every man, including the king, would run out of food, would run out of resources, would run out of everything that they have, and they would literally be without the ability to survive. We also understand that with this time of despair, this time of destruction, do you understand how this brings men to a low caliber? I'm reminded in Samaria. You remember in Samaria where they had the famine? You remember the story how that they would literally sell dove's dung for great prices and they would take a donkey's head and they were basically eating everything they could think of. And then the king hears the story of two women who negotiated, and one said, "Hey, let's eat your baby tonight. And then once we eat your baby, we'll eat our baby." Can you imagine how despicable and how low a society comes to eat their own children? Egypt was on their way. They were on their way. This was not just kind of, well, this could happen. This is not like watching a hurricane and saying, "Oh, it might hit us, it might not." Joseph is going to reveal something to them. Notice what he says in verse 32. This is a very important verse. He says this. Now, let me paraphrase it and then we'll read it. He said, there's not two dreams. It's one. It's one dream, one of the cows, one of the corn, but it's one dream. And the reason that it's given to you twice is because this has been established. God has spoken. You cannot alter the ways of God. Destruction's it's on the calendar. You know, you and I, we get to change events and appointments. You know, if you don't like that dentist appointment, you're like, "You know, I don't feel like going in." You can cancel that. But I want to just say something tonight with all sincerity and with everything in my body. You cannot cancel what is on God's calendar. Right. Pharaoh, you need to realize something. This is on God's calendar. And there's not a decree from any king or any governor that can alter God's calendar. Notice what he says in verse 32. "And now for the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God." I love that. "And I got news for you. God will shortly bring it to pass. So I'm just here to tell you what's on God's calendar, and I'm telling you that it's coming. You're in trouble, man. Basically what Joseph's saying. But I love that with Joseph, not only does he bring the word of destruction, because that's what's ahead. What's ahead? But Joseph also brings a remedy. You see, Egypt, although there was destruction on their calendar, what a God that he always has a remedy. And the remedy is there. Verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a discreet and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. I'm not going to read all of it, but basically he says this. Listen, you got 7 years, and in the 7 years, go through and take a fifth part of everything in the land. Make it a tax and put it in storehouses, and put storehouses in every place of the town and throughout the country. And then when that 7 years of famine comes, we will be able to have the ability to endure that through the wisdom and the ways of God. Joseph not only revealed the destruction, he also revealed the way of salvation. In the midst, follow me, in the midst of destruction, there was a way of salvation. And what was needed in this passage was for a man to come in the midst of destruction and lead them to salvation. A man was needed for that generation, for that time. A man who understood the word and the will of God so that he might show them the way of God. Everybody with me on that? And so they're all hearing this and they're like, guys, we're in trouble. I know this is not my dream. I know this is a dream that's come from something greater than me. And this dream didn't come from Betsy the cow out there. And I know we're telling everybody to worship that cow out there, but this didn't come from Betsy the cow. This didn't come from those frogs that keep us up at night. And this didn't come from the Nile River. I'm pretty convinced that the one who pointed this out to me scared me half to death. Do we understand that this God spoke to his soul and he's been troubled? I don't know if we can quite, you know, it's funny to me, the Bible puts words in there, and I'm not sure that we understand this, but I'm just going to tell you something. This king woke up, and when he woke up, he was troubled enough to call every wise man that he knew, and no matter where they were at, no matter how far they were out, you better get on a horse, and you better get here now, because I'm troubled, and we're not moving to any other agenda until we deal with this one. I think that's called trouble. And that trouble doesn't come from frogs. Comes from the one true God. And guys, I'm going to be honest with you, man. If I've been troubled just one day with hearing this dream, and now I you know, it's kind of funny. You and I have been there. You've been surrounded by lies and maybe false religion, but in your heart of hearts, you know the day that you hear the truth. Yeah, you know exactly what, you know what I'm talking about. I've had people come to my church and they're like, you know, I grew up in a Catholic church, or I grew up in this kind of church, but they didn't talk like you do. Amen. And it's not the way I talk. It's the fact that the Holy Spirit of God moves inside their heart and starts convicting them and shouts it in their head. This is truth. Amen. God has a way of doing that, doesn't he? Now, he doesn't kind of do it like that, but he does it. I mean, he knows how to move it. I mean, he knows how to speak to our heart. I'll never forget, I had this, we had a lady that her, I can't remember if it was her cousin or her granddaughter, was moving to Tampa and going to a university, and so she had invited her to church. And the grandmother wasn't that faithful, but she had brought this college student to church, and so we got a card on her, and I went and I was visiting her at this kind of apartment complex. I knocked on her door, and when she opened the door, she looked at me, and she said, it's the first words. She goes, it's you! And I said, well, yeah, I said, it's me. I said, we just want to come by and tell you we were real glad that you came and visited the church, you know, going through the normal spiel, and hope you had a great time. And she says, well, I'm not coming back. I didn't even get to finish my spiel, you know. She goes, I'm not coming back. I said, well, I said, did something happen? She goes, yeah. She goes, I'm not coming back to that church. She goes, I don't know what's going on, but she goes, I'm going to tell you something. She goes, I was sitting in that church, and she goes, inside of me, something was not feeling right. And I don't know what it was, but I didn't feel right. I didn't feel good. And I tell you what, I'm telling you, I got up, and the whole time I was in that church, I've never been in church like that. She goes, I've been in churches before, but in that church, I didn't feel right, and something inside of me was not good. And I left, and it's still been bothering me. And I just said, well, ma'am, I said, that's what we call the Holy Spirit of God working in your heart. She goes, I don't care what you call it. She goes, it scares me, and I'm not coming back. Now, I don't think her response is right of not coming back, but I'm just going to tell you something. When you're living in sin, God makes you feel uncomfortable. It's how He works. And I'm convinced that Pharaoh was troubled, and this message troubled him because destruction was on its way, and they needed a man to lead them to a way of salvation. And Joseph, listen to me when I say this, Joseph had not only pointed out the word and the will of God. And I say those together because they are always together. You cannot separate God's word from God's will. He doesn't operate outside of the boundaries of His word. But what Joseph was to do is Joseph was showing them the way of God, a way of salvation in the midst of destruction. And as these men sit here, they come to a conclusion. We need a man desperately to show us a way of salvation. And here is Joseph. And notice what they say of Joseph in verse 38. Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? I want to challenge us tonight, and I just want to challenge us tonight. I know it's the last night of revival, but I want to challenge you that there are things on God's calendar that are already set. I'm reminded in 1 Thessalonians that when the Lord returns or when the day of rapture comes, it will catch the world as a thief in the night. But the Bible makes it really clear it should not catch us as a thief in the night. Sometimes we are so enamored with this world and with the things of this world, we do not realize that judgment is set. Destruction is on the calendar. You know, friend, I just want to challenge you that you and I have been living in a day of mercy, but just as the door of Noah, of the ark closed in the days of Noah, friend, I'm just going to tell you that the day of mercy is going to run out. We are committing millions of abortions, taking innocent children's lives. And somehow we think, well, because it's not on our radar, it's not on God's radar. Friend, I'm just going to tell you something, that God is well aware of the sin of this country. He's well aware of the iniquity of our day. He is well aware of the perversion of mankind. And He is well aware, listen to me. He is well aware of the slippery slope churches are taking today to be more like the world than like Christ. And I just want to challenge you that there is judgment that is set on God's calendar. But in the midst of judgment that is set on God's calendar, aren't you thankful that God has a way of mercy? And you say, well, Brother Nance, Joseph was there for that time, for that generation. You're right. Do you not realize that God has set you here for this time? And we must reach our generation for the cause of Christ. We stick our head in the sand and we say, well, you know what? It's not going to happen to me. Esther, wake up. Wake up. Now I want to challenge you that the world is still looking for a man that knows the word of God and knows the will of God and can point them to the way of God. And so, Brother Nance, I've got my life already mapped out. Well, maybe God's got a higher calling for your life than you think. Maybe God is looking for a Joseph tonight. Maybe God is desiring for this church to impact a world in a way that it can't even imagine. And I just want to challenge us tonight that the time is short. And what Joseph was telling Pharaoh is true today. It's already, the clock has been set. And you and I cannot just sit back and relax and just let the world go to hell, friend. We must engage the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a way of salvation. And you and I must rise to that calling and not become comfortable in our Christianity. Can we find such a man? Yes. And there's no doubt in my mind there's probably such a man in this room who maybe argues and wrestles with God that I'm not enough. My background has been of prison. You have no idea what God could do with your life. Oh, what God can do with one. Come on. What God can do with one. What God can do with one who has a loss of themselves and a vision of God. What God can do with one. Well, what was so great about Joseph? Has this not been God's way throughout the Bible and throughout time? Esther, for her generation. Abraham, the light for his. I think of Jonah. Where would Nineveh have been? Had Jonah not run. Nehemiah, Moses, Daniel. We could go through scripture. There weren't large crowds. They were men like Gideon. Just a small group of 300. What are these? Have you read the rest of the story of Gideon? I can tell you two guys that got their heads cut off who would say, who are those? 120,000 Midianites fell and God used 300 to do it. Well, who was this man? The Bible would describe him, and I love this. It is Pharaoh that's describing him. Look what Pharaoh says. By the way, don't you just love the Bible? I don't think you understood the value of that. These are Pharaoh's words describing this man that he has met for just a couple of hours. Can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit... Notice how that it's capitalized. Everybody see how it's capitalized? We're not just talking about a spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God is. There's something different about this boy. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on. What would give Pharaoh the ability to know Joseph and know that he is the most discreet and wise, and there's nobody like him? We'll stop and let's understand something. Do we not know that he has just gone through every magician and wise man, not only in Egypt, but in all of the area that he could find? Come on. He's heard them. He's listened to them. He has, in his troubled spirit, sought. Give me something. That's all you've got? Next. Oh, please, you've got to give me something. That's all you've got? Next. He had heard from the world. They didn't bring peace to his soul. He was still troubled. Are you with me on this? Then comes Joseph. When Joseph spoke, I can tell you what happened. All of a sudden, that troubled soul heard words that brought him peace. And for the first time, he realized, there's something different about you, boy. The Spirit of God's in him. Can I just say something? You know what this world needs? Number one, it needs a saved man. If you're not saved, I'm going to just tell you, God's not going to be able to use you. Number two, can I just say this? I'm not trying to be clever and just put things together, but you need to be a separated man. Do you not understand that the world doesn't need more magicians? They don't need more of the same. I'm afraid that sometimes we've got some real Josephs that are missing it because they're trying to be like the magicians. The magicians do not have it. They cannot bring the answers that this world in its troubled situation needs. We need men of God that are holy and have the Spirit of God in them. It just bothers me that we've got this mindset today that, you know, what we need is we need youth groups that look like the world. And you know, we've got a room for them in the basement. And you go down there, and it looks like a disco room. And they've got music that's different than upstairs. And they've got, you know, some disco ball in their room. And they've got, you know, bright lights. And they've got all these kind of cool schemes. I'm just telling you, the world does not need more magicians. They don't need church members that look like magicians. They need something that is distinctly godly. God help us that we'll stop trying to look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and connive like the magicians and wise men of Egypt. But God help us that we will be distinctly holy people of God. I can't challenge us enough tonight that in this day and hour, I know that the number of Josephs are small. I know that. But the world still craves for a man that is filled with the Spirit of God, that is discreet and wise, and is willing to show them a way of salvation. Now, I'm just going to challenge you tonight. This world's in a mess. Let me say it this way. Joseph stood between the living and the dead. Do you understand that? He stood between the living and the dead. If Joseph doesn't show them the way, they'll all be dead. But because of Joseph, they will all survive and have life. Well, Brother Nance, I'm just kind of bashful. You stand between the living and the dead. Don't you get that? And can I just challenge you? You know, I want to just kind of get this tonight. Come to Kansas City and we say, oh man, what's the big things happening in Kansas City? Oh, I'll tell you the biggest thing that's happening in Kansas City. It's the Chiefs. Oh, yeah, all right. I mean, you know, look at that guy, man. He plays for the Chiefs, or he works in the top management of the Chiefs. Ooh, wow. That's a pretty big job. Well, what do you do? Oh, he works for another company downtown. He's pretty high up. And this guy, he works for the governor's office. Ooh, wow, that's kind of exciting. Man, that's pretty neat. What else is pretty life-altering and changing? And what's kind of the movers and shakers of Kansas City? And we could go on and list a bunch of things. And then we might say, well, who is that guy? And we might say, he's a Sunday school teacher at a church called Faith Baptist Church. Oh. Oh. No, who? Oh. Yeah. No. I think we got it backwards. I think we got it backwards. Because what's happening, let me tell you something. What's happening in the stadium of the Chiefs is not going to change anybody's life or death. Do you understand what happens in this room is life and death?
Amen. Right. Amen.
Say, Brother Nance, I don't think it's that big of a deal. No. I want to challenge you. Listen to me. Look right here. Listen to me when I say this. I am convinced of this. I'm convinced that if Lot had 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, the city would have been saved. Is that true? Yes or no? 10 people. Now that doesn't sound like a large congregation to me, but that city and the destruction of that entire area was based upon Lot,
right,
and how he lived. One man who could have influenced for righteousness, or one man who said, you know what, I'm going to be like the magicians. I'm going to be, are you following me on this? I'm going to be like the wise men of Egypt. And you know what happened? He may have known the word of God. He may have known the will of God. By the way, he did. God revealed it to him, didn't he? But you know what Lot didn't do? That was different than Joseph. Lot didn't show anybody the way of salvation. He didn't show anybody the way of salvation. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is this. You may know the word of God. Thank God for that. And you may know the will of God. You may know about the book of Daniel, and you may know about the book of Revelation, and you may know about the judgment seat of Christ, and you may know about an eternal lake of fire. You may know all of those things, but Lot didn't lead anybody to the way of salvation. You know what Joseph did that was different than Lot? He came in and he says, I'm different. They said it. You're not like those other guys. There's a spirit of God inside of you. And he led them to a way of salvation. You say, well, Brother Nance, you don't understand. You know, Joseph was young and in his 30s, and he could give his whole life to God. And I'm probably getting close to retirement, and I don't know that I can make that big of an impact. Oh, I think you're being foolish. I think you're being foolish. I don't think you realize how big your impact is. I don't. When we started our church in Tampa, I had a couple that would sit about right here, John and Danny Bruton. God gave me some good people. Danny Bruton, she was just an old, she grew up and her husband was a Baptist preacher who died, and she remarried John. They got married later in their years, godly people. But she'd always wear a hat to church. She'd grown up wearing a hat to church, and she wasn't going to change. I just love John. Because, you know, when you're starting a church and, you know, I was telling preacher, everybody just kind of looks at you. And John was the only guy that'd say, amen, preacher. And John would talk to me when I was preaching. He'd say, you need to say that one again, pastor. And I'd be like, I will, John. He'd talk to me in the message. But I'll never forget I think every single service, I'd watch John as he would walk out and with a cane and or grab the pews and literally just come out. He'd grab my hand at the end of the service and he'd say this, "Pastor, now I want you to know something. That was a great message. That's probably the best message you preached. I want you to know something. Danny and I," that's his wife, "Danny and I pray for you every day. You know that preacher? Pray for you every day." You know what that does to a preacher? I don't think I'm the only one that prays for me. There's a lady that I preached for in a church in a revival about 6 years ago. Her husband was a pastor and she died. And she told me, she said, "Brother Nance, I just want you to know something. Every day of my life, I'm going to be praying for you." And I haven't seen her in probably 5 or 6 years, but I believe that every single day she prays for me. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying this, look right up here. You don't understand how important the work of Joseph is. And whether you're old or whether you're young, I'm just telling you, you stand between the living and the dead. I don't think you realize how important being in church is. You stand between the living and the dead. I don't think you realize how important Faith Baptist Church is to Kansas City and to the world. This, you say, this little church, by the way, there is no little church. But this body of believers literally stands between the living and the dead. You getting it? And I just want to put a plug out. We still need young men to surrender to the call of God. I don't believe that with 7 billion people and the world exploding in growth, you know, I've actually heard guys kind of talk this way. "Well, Brother Nance, I just don't feel like God's calling men to the ministry anymore." I almost want to just slap them. You're telling me that with 7 billion people, you don't think there's a need for church planting and pastors and missionaries?
Exactly.
What do you think? You think everybody's getting saved and on their way to? I'm just trying to tell us tonight that there is a desperate need. There are people with troubled souls who long for a Joseph to come and show them the way of salvation. There are people living with troubled souls who long for a Joseph to show them the way of salvation. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads bowed tonight. I wonder who would say this, you know, brother.